back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively out at the Full Moon Pub and Grill, Reisterstown. Like, it's sort of officially, it's not Main Street, it's not downtown, but it's right around the corner, right around the corner on the way to Westminster. I used to go to training camp, and where Ross Petticord and I met many, many years ago at the Baltimore Sun, 501 North Calvary. We take a break here. And this is the way it always works when green room. It's like Moeller when he's around. green room. Cricket Goodall is here. Ross Petticord, they're our guests. All brought to you by our friends at Goodwill, Window Nation, our friends at the Maryland Lottery, making it all happen around here. I got scratch-offs and the Restaurant Association. We're losing payment. It's okay. We got fans blowing. It's 158 degrees and we're outside here. Cricket, you said the smartest thing the minute the thing went down. You're like, you guys worked at the paper. There must have been some real characters there. We were two of them.
I can only bet. I knew a few of them, and they were...
Sylvia Badger, Kevin Cowherd, Linnell Smith.
Clem, but Clem Floria? Was Clem still there?
Clem was,
Clem was gone.
We wrote an article about him, and it won an Eclipse Award, which is the top journalism award in the horse racing. Vinny Perone.
He was in the press box. They were all in the press box at the racetrack.
The day that Clem died, Vinny and I were in touch with each other, and, you know, Vinny said to me, I'll never forget it, he said, I can't believe... that a force of energy like that
he was.
Could ever be extinguished. You
like,
know what I mean?
It's just like you, Nestor. How are you ever going to be extinguished?
I love Clem, right? Yeah. So, like, when, you know, when I worked at my first 31 years.
Everybody loved him.
Well, we're celebrating 31 years on the radio, and I started in December 91 doing radio, and on the station I was on, WITH, Clem did the race reports.
Yeah.
Big band radio. Oh, you baby doll from Enrico's of Island Town. Oh, baby doll. So Clem would, you know, do his whole thing. Mama Lucia, you go see them for the pizza. So Clem would bowl or do bocce bowling in Little Italy right next to Amici's, and Amici's was my sponsor. So my son was born in 84, so this is probably 94, 95, 96. I'm on the radio. Clem's my racing guy. And Clem would meet me on Friday night at Amici's with all his Goombas, and they were playing their baleen, you know, out there pitching and whatnot. Clem was one of my of all of my lifetime. Clem was one of my favorite people
I think
I've ever
met.
Yeah.
Clem was amazing.
Then you had Dale
Charlie
Austin,
Ekman, Larry King was used to be in the press box.
I would love to have seen that.
Oh
Larry
my God,
King.
He was there just about every day for maybe the
it's
early
amazing.
80s.
Yeah,
or something
the
like that.
I saw your cousin play ball.
Right,
best ball player I've ever seen. So Larry King. You know, when he died a couple years ago, I was one of Larry
He's
King's.
Larry King is dead.
Larry King died.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, when the day he died, he wrote about me in the USA Today. He called my book a good read.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
I was one of King's things one day. So like that.
That's amazing.
That's right up there.
Thank God he got it in there before he died.
It's right up there, like with singing with the Smithereens. Ross Petticord is here. The highlights of working together at the Sun and doing this. You said you went to Mount St. Mary's. Then you were always into horse racing and into horsing. Stuart gets involved. What is this? Give me soup to nuts, Cricket. Both of you get after this as to what people are going to find when they come to Reisterstown, what they can find online, and all the things that. Besides just loving these animals and promoting the animals, what all of this represents? Because you told me I'm doing it. I've done none of the research. Moeller will attest to that. I haven't read any of this. Tell me about it.
My group does horseback riding. Cricket's group does thoroughbred racing and breeding.
So, and we are in historic Reisterstown with our new building, our library and education center, which we are renovating an old church, and we have our offices and meeting rooms will be open in about a month. It's a very, very big project for the Maryland Horse Breeders Association because we've been hoping for a long time to have a place. And we settled in the historic part of Main Street, Maryland Main Street in Reisterstown.
How did that happen? Why Reisterstown?
Because I live near here, and I drove by one day and saw this wonderful building, and I went to my board of directors, and I said, I think this would be great. It's an old church, so it's got a very...
I was in an old church last night drinking beer. The Ministry of Brewing.
Well, maybe it'll be the Ministry of Horses, but
beer,
anyway.
Yeah,
I'll bring beer.
It's just got a lot of character, and it's a great... The Reisterstown Improvement Association has really focused on that section, a couple blocks of Reisterstown called the Maryland Main Street. It's one of Maryland's.
I need you to stop at the cow place and get the ice.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
We have ice cream. We have, right next door, we have snowballs. Right across the road is the Harriman House. I go there all the time. It's just a great place, and it's convenient. For us, it's convenient because you get on 795 and go down to Laurel. Lovely Laurel, as you said. You go straight down Reisterstown Road and go to Pimlico. You go over the hill towards Butler and Timonium and see all the beautiful horse farms, the Maryland Hunt Cup course, which is the most famous timber race.
I've always wanted to go to Hunt Cup. Am I missing out on Hunt Cup?
You need to go.
You need to go at least once, yes, and see all the fences and everything. We can fix that. We can get that fixed up for you.
My wife and I talk Hunt Cup every year. Like, it's on our radar, kind of like the Albuquerque hot air balloons. One day.
You need
one
to
day.
See it.
It's Deep Creek. One day, right. And then we did it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's outdoors. It's beautiful. It's in the most prime horse country in Baltimore County. So we celebrate that with our library and education center. We have five. We're going to have 5,000
videos.
5,000 books in the library. We'll have an AV room where we can have you come up and do podcasts. We'll digitize photos and films and be a repository for all the history with not just thoroughbreds, all kinds of horses. Because as Ross said, there's just a broad scope of horse people and horse activities in Maryland, and we love them all. So that's how we ended up there, and we are very, very happy. As the brochure, as you said, celebrating the past.
Open to the public.
Nurturing the future.
Did both of you grow up horses? I haven't asked you about your childhood or where it is. We talked about my wife riding horses and stuff, but it just feels to me like you're born into this.
I know. I had cows. I grew up with cows.
I did. Okay. I rode horses when I was little.
And, but you're both farm people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I moved to a farm when I got interested in horses. But as a little girl, now, I mean...
The horse brought you to the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. And once you get that sort of work ethic, like Ross said, if you get kids involved early and they love what they're doing, they don't realize that it's a lot of work every day, all day. Right. They learn a work ethic. They learn to appreciate animals. And it's a very good learning opportunity where you don't have to feel like kids you're teaching. They're learning it because they love it. And that's why all these people that have...
And we have all these lesson barns across the state and every county. Places where kids can go, and we welcome.
And they take horses out to. There's groups that take them out to schools. The City Ranch in Baltimore City. We have a big tented area.
That's Baltimore Positive. You're talking about.
It's absolutely.
I mean, just like stuff that you might not know about unless you know about it, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And it's just such a good opportunity and healthy for everybody.
Maryland is a great state. It's a real educational state. I mean, we have great schools here. That goes into the horse industry. We have very welcoming, very kind. You know, people think horses are elitist.
No,
to a degree, they can be, as much as you want to put money into it. But everywhere we go, all across the state, we have these farms that welcome everybody in to learn about horses. It's unbelievable. And they really want to. We have 800, of these stables.
And Maryland was the first to license the riding stables. And other states have copied that.
We inspect them and... we have relationships with all of these folks. We have horse discovery centers.
Where people can just go out and visit and stop in.
People can go out and visit. I mean, it's terrific.
So Maryland really appreciates what we have here with the infrastructure, not only the actual tracks and stables, but the people, because the people are who are passionate about it and willing to take the time. It's hard work. Farming in general is very hard work, whether you're growing...
That's why I don't do it.
Yeah, whether you're growing, corn or whether you have cattle. And I think that the people who do it really love it. And if they don't love it, they're probably moved on to something else.
And they're happy to share it with other folks.
Yeah.
That's been the best thing that I've learned. I mean, how kind everybody is.
And
I want to share all their knowledge.
There's so much to celebrate. We're doing that with our library, but there's really opportunities to have a Preakness Museum. I mean, there's other things that we need a Preakness Museum. I mean, they have a Kentucky Derby Museum. They have there's other things.
How do you guys feel about the Preakness and what's going on here in recent times? I mean, Ross, I'll take the show back 10 weeks to Preakness Week where the Derby winner doesn't come. You and I probably met right around Spend a Buck, right around 85.
Wow, really?
Literally,
okay.
Right? Spend a Buck was 85, and then Ferdinand after that, and, Ali Sheba, and, those horses of that era. Sunday Silence came a little later, but, 85, 86, it was the biggest story in sports that the Derby winner was skipping to Preakness.
It was.
Now, to me, it's not the biggest story in sports, but... The more I talk about it, the more we talk about what's good for these horses, the more we talk about what trainers want, what billionaires want when they own these multi-million dollar horses, that 2 weeks and 3 weeks, maybe we're doing it wrong. What do you think of that? If you're writing a column right now, what would you be writing about the industry?
First, let me go to spend a buck. I was at this big fancy horse event called the Badminton Horse Trials 2 years ago in England. The top U.S. horse was a son of Spendabuck, jumping over these big fences in England. Anyway, I digress.
37 years later.
And that was a bonus. That was a bonus that attracted him to lead. You know, that was, you know, they put out a
whole... It was chicanery.
Well, exactly. That's a little different.
It was
different.
A Jersey move, as I remember it.
But going back to the Triple Crown, I'm a traditionalist. I don't think they should change the way it is. The Derby, then 2 weeks, the Preakness, and that's all within 5 weeks. It takes an exceptional horse to do that. And, you know...
But can you blame... If it's your horse that wins the Derby...
I do not blame the folks that bypassed it this year because they knew their horse.
Right, right.
And he only races well in between races. I mean, with a lot of time in between races.
Yeah, they made a good decision for their horse.
They made a decision out of the love for their horse and knowing their horse. So I don't blame them at all.
That, like Ross said, it has to be the right horse.
It has to be the right horse.
It is working because we've had Triple Crown winners recently. So it's not like it hasn't worked.
He might have been cheating.
American Pharoah does that.
Baffert comes on with me every year. I mean, I know Bob well.
Right.
Bob answers the phone. Bob comes on. Bob came on with me with roses and all that stuff. The next morning, he got thrown out a year and a half ago.
Wow.
So this is during the plague. I like Bob. But I think when I bring on Randy Moss, and
Randy Moss is great.
And he says to me, horse racing has a doping problem. This is a journalist saying to me, there's a problem going on here. And look, man.
Master, I covered racing 40, 50 years ago. It was a problem then.
Yeah.
It's been a problem forever. I mean, you know.
Now the federal government is involved in oversight and trying to make uniform medication, you know, address any problems. There are going to be people who are always on the wrong side of that. I personally don't think Baffert is. I think he got caught up in a firestorm of controversy. But the reality is it will be harder and harder to cheat. And that's a good thing because you need a level playing field. But that doesn't mean that every horse that runs in the Derby is going to run in the Preakness. Because if it isn't right for that horse and the trainer and owner know that, that's a good thing. You can't require the whole field to come because if, you know, in that case, it would have been the wrong decision for that horse. So I agree with Russ. I think it should stay the same. Actually, I think Randy Moss thinks
it
needs
to. But if we get into this where three out of every five are skipping it because trainers don't believe it's in their horse's best interest to do it, under normal circumstances in the modern era, horses don't race like that. They don't come back in 2 weeks, right? Very few do,
but you know, you can look at it. Is that the way because people are training horses differently? You know, you have all the debate about breeding
the breed weakening.
I think if you look back at old time trainers, and Ross will recognize a lot of them. I mean like Frank Whiteley's, you know, way forego. They trained differently, and their horses challenged them early and often. They trained them by racing. And a lot of times now people train and train and train a horse, and then they race it. In the old days, instead of a work between races, they would race the horse again, and that would be his training mechanism.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore, whether that's just...
Well, pitchers don't go seven innings either. Like, you know, literally, I mean, things have changed, and...
Yeah, so I don't know.
I'm just worried about that. I'm worried about the thing that sucked me in, right, as a kid was the Derby.
Well, it's all good points, Nestor. I think it's all good, arguable points. You know, I'm old. I'm a traditionalist.
It doesn't help you, though. I guess my point is that is the star of horse racing, right? That's the thing we all stop for. And the thing people notice the most, I want that to be as strong as it can be for everybody.
I think everybody does. I think the economics of racing have changed. I mean, in the Spendabuck era, the bonus they hung out for him was so huge he couldn't ignore it. Well, now that's a purse on some of these races. So you've got a whole different evaluation from the owner and trainer standpoint. And I would think that most of the time they're going to try for the Triple Crown if they think it's not going to be detrimental to their horse. You'll see now the big races in Saratoga and Del Mar and all these places. If the trainers, they want to go for the money, but they're not going to damage their horse to do that. And that's admirable, really. I mean, you can't look at it as a bad thing. You have to say, they're making the right choice.
And maybe, you know, the Triple Crown winners are a freak of nature.
Yeah,
well,
that
great.
Could be.
They're a freak of nature, and we celebrate that. And they're not your everyday thoroughbred anymore.
Everybody has different opinions, but the industry has changed so much, and the economics of it is what has.
I'm reading this book right now.
What are you reading?
It's about Lexington, who was one of the greatest horses of all time from the 1850s, and they used to run him in two heats.
Yeah.
A race was two heats, two-mile heats. And then 4 days later, they would run him in a four-mile race.
Yeah.
His skeleton is in the Smithsonian Institute in D.C. as one of the great species of animals of all time. This is a great book, by the way. Read it.
Geraldine Brooks,
Pulitzer Prize-winning author. Nestor, I'll give you this
just
book,
out.
But I haven't
just
finished
out.
Reading it yet.
Yeah.
When I finish, I'll
I thought
give
you were
it.
Giving it to our library.
See, he offered.
Borrow it, and then
I'll
you
buy
can...
another. I'll buy another copy.
You don't want to give me a library card. I'll never check it back in.
Cricket's downloading it on Kindle.
Yeah, I'm watching.
I still read books.
Cricket Goodall's here. We also have Ross Petticord.
I got to talk about Marilyn Millian.
I'm embarrassed that
too.
I haven't had Ross on more often. My 31st year in radio. I had you on a little bit early in my career.
I've been on Roderick's podcast.
Oh, okay. So what's about Roderick? He says to me, seen Roderick lately? Last year on the tour, a little different than this year. This year we're doing breweries. We're doing crab cakes. I'm doing friends. I'm doing a lot of these conversations. Last year was more like the plague was going on. I had never been to Deep Creek. I had never been to Antietam. I had never been really to Hagerstown off of 7.
You know, tourism picked up in Garrett County during the pandemic.
I bet.
Because people wanted to go out.
I had never been to Chrisfield. Yeah. I had never been to Smith Island.
Oh,
we
wow.
went down and made Smith Island cakes with Mary Ada in her kitchen, right? We did all of these cool things last year. And, you know, I guess for this year, I'm doing snakehead fishing a little later on in Vienna, Virginia, with my childhood friend. But last year, I wanted to go crabbing and didn't. I'm doing that with Tony Conrad on the 27th. Last year, I wanted to go fly fishing.
Ah.
I had gone to Yellowstone with my wife to see Pearl Jam, and we went out to that part of the world, to Montana.
You know who is a great fly fisherman? Paul Reed Smith, who does the guitars.
The guitars?
You should go fly fishing with Paul Reed Smith.
Set that up.
That I will.
We'll take Rodericks.
Sounds great.
Is he a fly
fisherman?
Remember
Lefty?
And Jay Griswold, who's on our board. He is a great fly fisherman, too. He goes to Canada every year.
I want to be a part of that.
I'm not great. I just want to
go
do it.
Yeah, me too. I've never done
it. We'll arrange that.
Well, Rodericks does it, and I knew he did it.
Right.
And I was looking for a celebrity to join me. And his son, Nick, is like a real guide.
Wow.
Oh,
out on the Savage River.
Oh, huh.
So we set it all up, and then his kid blows his Achilles like 3 weeks before we went.
Uh-oh.
So Dan brought waders, rods, Lefty Craze accent, because, you know, he and Lefty, and I knew Lefty, right? So Lefty used to invite me fly fishing, and it's like you invited me horse riding. I didn't take anybody.
Right.
You guys were just old guys. All I wanted to do was chase girls, go to Hammer Jacks, go to the beach, watch the Orioles play, right? Literally, that's all
that
I did.
That was his son, all
that
these
was
old
my
guys.
Life in 1988, right? So Rodericks takes us fly fishing out on the upper Potomac. Went to a town called Luke, Maryland, Williamsport and Luke, Maryland, right, where the paper mill was.
That's where the ancestors of that great swimmer, Michael Phelps, are from.
Really?
Luke, Maryland, yeah.
I did not
His grandparents.
That. So we threw on the waders. We went out there, and Dan had me going 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2. And I learned how to. And we caught one little rainbow trout.
Wow.
It's about as big as my hand. Rodericks and I took a picture. So I saw Dan last year.
I'd love to try that.
Well, this was part of my sort of journey in doing this. So don't tell anyone I've never been on a horse, okay? What would you, if I came out, what would you do with a 53-year-old tenderfoot soft ass like myself? And I come out, because my wife would love to do this.
Uh-oh.
So what? Give me the experience of what would
be nice, Ross. Be nice.
I know it's going to hurt down here, all right, day after. But what are you going to do for me, Ross?
Oddly enough. 3 miles from here is a farm called Full Moon Farm.
That's right. I forgot
about
that.
Is there a brewery nearby?
There might be.
There might be. I'm sure there is.
We'll make it.
Yeah, Michael Harrison's brewery is there.
Yeah, that's in Butler. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, we could do a brewery horse farm riding thing. Anyway.
That sounds a little scary.
Anyway, Full Moon Farm, they teach about 200 students a week horseback riding.
Lots of good people.
Indoor rings, outdoor rings.
Friendly horses.
Friendly horses. And we can set that up where you would come out and get an introductory ride.
What's the first thing I need to know? Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Learn how to fall.
You know what?
No,
that's
don't fall.
The number one thing. We did a study, and the number one thing that people are afraid of, horses. It's not the expense. It's not the clothes they have to get. The number one thing is, and because we do this all the time, we're not afraid of them, but the number one thing, obstacle to people getting involved in horses is they're afraid of
just because they're big, and they, you know, they might step on them. I mean, it's not just falling off.
All-star game, all right? It's about like this, 150 degrees. Middle of July, 1996, I'm up in Philadelphia, and I got my press pass, and I'm covering.
Right,
I'm there, and I'm underneath Veterans Stadium, and there's a big white police horse underneath there,
right?
And there were a lot of people, a lot of kids, autographs. It was underneath that little canopy, Veterans Stadium, and I couldn't get out of the way. And this guy, I feel it on my foot right
now. Oh, he stepped
now.
On your foot.
Like, I feel it in the bone on my third metatarsal.
Oh, no.
I'm not even doctorish, but he stepped right.
Oh, that's what everybody's afraid
and at
of.
At that moment, the horse got on me, and I'm like, please get off. Please, get off. Please, little buddy. Please, little buddy.
You didn't know? Scream and, like, cry like
it,
a little boy?
I was as black as his shirt. I mean, it was purple. It was black. It was before the Ravens were in town. I didn't want my foot to be purple. And so I've been stepped on. I mean, you don't forget.
This is why this is why we have horse discovery centers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is where people go for their first
experience.
They're
not going to let that happen.
And you learn. Horses are not like motorbikes where you get on and run them.
It's in a bumper car. Yeah, okay, I got you.
They're human. They're not human beings, but they're
animals.
Sentient beings.
They're sensitive beings, and you have to learn a little bit about the horse before you get on and ride it.
And they do tune into your nervousness and stuff. I mean, that's why
they're very forgiving and lovely animals.
They're using them a lot for veterans, for emotional support animals, and autistic kids, and because horses really key into your.
I do that with my cat. My cat,
exactly.
Well,
you
know, it's the same idea.
It's
but
a horse is bigger than your cat, unless you have a real big cat.
And people can really connect.
You have like a tiger
she's
cat.
She's beautiful.
Or,
she's a little calico.
Do you have a dog?
Yesterday was her fifth birthday.
Doesn't hurt
we
when
gave
she steps on your
treats.
Foot. Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
I almost went to Franco's and got her some shrimp from that. that she loves that. Ross Petticord is here. He's the executive director of the Maryland Horse Industry Board. Cricket Goodall is here. She is the executive director of the Maryland Million Limited Maryland Horse Breeders Association. So I'm top of mind here. When I see Maryland Million. When I think Maryland
Jim
Million,
McKay.
I think of Jim McKay.
Of course.
That's all. Now, Jim
of
came
course.
To my show. Jim listened to my show.
I bet.
So when Jim McKay told me in like 1998, Nestor, I listen to you almost every day.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, I better watch my language. You know, I better straighten up.
Yeah. Larry but, King and Jim McKay.
No,
oh, my God.
I love old people. You know this, right? Old people love me. No, Jim McKay, when I think of the Maryland Million, I think of Jim. And
well,
I think Jim came to my studio right at the beginning, you know, when
I'm
it was
sure.
getting going in 97, 98.
Well, it started earlier than that because he went out to California to the Breeders' Cup in 85.
And so we're bringing that here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
And so we got going the first one in 1986, and Jim was there at every one. You know, after that, we switched. We started at Laurel, went to Pimlico, back and forth for a few years, and now we're at Laurel in the fall of every year. This year's October 22nd. And
so he would say, spanning the state to bring you the constant variety of horse.
Well, and if you noticed, whenever he was on
we
TV.
We use that as our logo.
The thrill
the
of
horse
victory.
Board.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
But he, you know, if he was at the British Open or what, he'd always, like, just get something in about Maryland and sometimes horses everywhere he went. He'd always, because he loved it. And he was so proud of Maryland.
And he had a horse farm.
He did have a horse farm in Moncton.
Up in Harford County.
Whenever I see his son, Sean, who runs CBS, I see him, I get incredible warmth because of how much his dad liked me.
Well, Sean's.
Right. You know, like, literally, his dad and I. Jim McKay could not have been any more magnanimous. And he knew I knew Stedman, too. So there was a little bit of that, you know.
Stedman is great.
John and I.
Yeah.
So this weekend, I'm going to, I know you know this place, because you drive places. Do you know Buddy Lou's in Hancock, Maryland? Buddy Lou's?
Yes.
On the hill, it's an antique shop. And
we have horse farms right in Hancock.
Okay. Well, Hancock, if you go, you make a right, you're in Pennsylvania. You make a left, you're in West Virginia.
Right.
Oh.
Like, literally, Hancock's, literally a mile.
Yeah.
Two miles deep,
drive
right?
down that main
so
street.
So Buddy Lou's Antique. I went in there last year, and my wife and I just like freaky places. We like different places. It's a lot like Full Moon, really. It's indoor, outdoor, but the basement and the rooftop are antique.
Oh wow,
and,
sounds great.
And you know, books and used cool Nice.
That sounds fun.
Kind of stuff, right? Like, and they have a kids area and a little, you know, windmill, whatever. I went in and Stedman's book was in there last year.
Oh, my God.
And I saw it and I was going to buy it, but I thought I might already had it. And it turns out it's the one of the three or four that I don't have. So I left it there. I kind of hit it a little bit. And I'm like, I'm going to do the tour again. I'm going back on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and I'm looking to get that book.
Wow.
And if
fantastic.
That book's not
let's
there.
Hope it's still there.
Yeah, I'm going to be really upset. I mean, I got a 20 right here.
Right.
You know, ready to buy. This is part of the going back and doing it again. But these relationships, man, the people we met 35 years ago, I'm really appreciative of you coming out today. Being
it's
a great
so much
guest
fun.
With us today.
Well, Jim McKay wrote a book, too. Did you have his book? The Sport of, I forget what
Kings?
It's called.
No.
Though.
Sport of...
I don't know if it is the Sport of Kings, but anyway.
The
it's,
Sport of Maryland Horses?
And yeah, anyway, it was great.
Well,
and
tell me Maryland Million. Where is
so
Maryland Million?
Maryland Million,
right
it's, it'll be our 37th anniversary this year on October 22nd at Laurel. And Laurel is all revamped, the tracks. They've worked hard on the turf course and the tracks, so we're happy to have that done. It's the biggest event day at Laurel, and it's really the second biggest event day after Preakness.
It's Maryland's Day at the Races.
Yeah, we call it Maryland's Day at the Races because it's focused on Maryland, which is what Jim McKay loved. And a funny story about my favorite race on Maryland Million Day, and I've been there for every year, and I probably Jim McKay's favorite was he had a horse that he ran one year, and the horse's name was Sean's Ferrari, because apparently Sean wanted a Ferrari one year and Jim bought this horse for him instead.
I'm going to tell
that's
Sean.
That's Sean. Yeah.
Oh, Sean will remember. So the horse was running on Maryland Million Day, and he didn't, it was not a longest shot, but he was not a top pick either. But Billy Boniface trained him, great trainer, brought in a famous jockey, Lafitte Pincai, who at that point was the top of the heap. And they came.
I met his kid.
Yeah.
He's a commentator.
So they were coming down the stretch, and Sean's Ferrari's about third or fourth. But it felt like and looked like Lafitte Pincai just like picked the horse up. He just worked him so hard, he ended up winning by a nose. And Jim McKay was speechless. I mean, he was just like, and I think he did acknowledge it as one of his favorite moments because his own horse, you know, as many
named after his son.
As many derbies as he saw and Preaknesses, that was his horse, yeah, and he and his son, and it's and it was a great race because literally the horse shouldn't have won. I think Lafitte Pincai got a big bonus for that one.
Anyway, we get the Breeders' Cup here.
Not anytime soon. They are going to redevelop and redo the tracks and, you know, Pimlico and Laurel here. So I would think down the road a piece. Right now they're still going back and forth between California and Kentucky. We hope to, but I think right now the capacity for the tracks, they're going to be at Keeneland this year, and Keeneland is comparable size-wise to Laurel or Pimlico, and they build it all out with tents, so it can be done, but I think we...
So they do that for a golf tournament over here last year.
Yeah,
that's what it
but
is.
But we still need new facilities. Pimlico is, you know, woefully... It needs repair and new.
That.
And so and Laurel needs to... There hasn't been a lot of money spent on it. So I think in the next 3 or 4 years, when the tracks are both redone and new and shiny, there's a chance.
All right, I'm about to make Ross light up here before we end things, okay? So I've been on the air 31 years, hence the 31 crab cakes and 31 years on the radio.
Wow,
right.
Good for you.
You know, before... You and I were before that, right? So I was... For years and years, I had a horse racing guy on the air who would always tell me, you haven't been anywhere until you've been to Saratoga, right?
Ah.
So the Travers became something. Marty McGee and I, every year in May, when I'd have Marty on or Dick Girardi. Dick Girardi, you're still talking about going to the Palestra. We haven't done that in Philadelphia yet, but for basketball. So I have these bucket list things I want to do, and Saratoga was one of them for years and years, and I never got there, the spa, right, and all that. Hootie and the Blowfish was playing up there about 4 summers ago when they reunited.
Right.
And my wife didn't get to go to the Philly show. She didn't get to go to the D.C. show. I'm friends with the band. We were in New York at a friend's house on a Saturday. We went up to see Barbara Streisand on a Friday night. We woke up Saturday. We just spent a day in New York. And I looked down and saw Hootie and the Blowfish was there. And it was in August. And I'm like, well, it's not Travers weekend because it wasn't. It was later than that. And I looked and I'm like, how far is Saratoga from New York City? We rented a car at the Newark Airport. We drove up 87.
About an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not far.
We drove up straight to Saratoga, parked the car, like, across the street for free. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. It was late in the afternoon. And we went in there, and I had friends that had, like, boxes that day and stuff. What a unbelievable. My wife didn't Google it or look it up or, like, know much about it. She got there. She's like, I'm in, like, a 1965 postcard.
Stepping back in history.
It was like,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
And I got the fried chicken at Hattie's. No offense to my friends. It's Chicken Palooza, Royal Farms. I love you. Really good fried chicken, right? Memorable. But I had an unbelievable day there. Yeah. I mean, I had a day there that I would say to anyone, if you want to do something really cool, go to Saratoga for
And guess what?
And I've been to Del Mar. I've been to Gulfstream. Yeah. I've been to nice parks.
The best horses in the world are
And
there
guess
right
what?
Now.
We've got a Maryland guy, Joe Clancy, that runs a daily newspaper up there called the Saratoga Special.
He's the editor of our magazine.
Editor of Cricket's Maryland Horse Magazine.
Yeah. I saw Jack Knoll's business card. He gave it to me. Sacatobel Sage. I know Jack a little bit. Right. Yeah, come on your show anytime. He's a talker. He loves coming out. You know, the people that love horse racing always make time and want to be a part
of
it. And I think those shared stories, like I'm sitting here talking, I went to Saratoga. How about that, you know? Where's your favorite place to go? Do you guys, are you touristy about your horse racing, like...
I like to have done it all. I've been to most of
the
races.
You've been to the Derby,
I've been to the Derby. I've been to all of them. I have not been to Delmore, but I need to get out west. But other than that,
I've been to eight Derbies, and the Derby's the best event in America.
You want to do them all, like, I think, and then do some steeplechase races and some horse shows.
Yeah. Right now, I would say the thing to experience in Maryland is Fair Hill and the new five-star.
October.
There are only seven of these events in the world.
Tell me about it, because I don't know anything.
Maryland has one of them. We had the initial one last year. Fair Hill is up in Cecil County. 6,000 pristine acres.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Filled with 130 miles of riding trails.
Biking trails,
bird watchers, hikers. Everyone uses that park up there. It's amazing. It's owned by the state of Maryland, run by the Department of Natural
Resources. How far off 95?
10 miles.
20 minutes.
20 minutes, okay.
Yeah, 20 minutes. You see
north?
The signs for it.
Okay.
Yeah. As you go up 95.
Toward northeast, up Rising
after,
Sun?
Yes.
Yeah, it's northeast.
Yes, it's the same exit.
Northeast.
It's northeast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You turn right to go to northeast. You turn left to go to Fair Hill. And we'll go up there, Esther.
Yeah.
October 13th to 16th.
Weekend before Maryland Millions.
Yeah, before Maryland Millions.
Yes.
So you can do
both.
It's
my birthday weekend.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, my God.
For my 54th birthday, I went to Cecil County with
shouldn't
Ross.
Shouldn't have told Ross that.
There you go. We got friends from Ireland coming over. I mean, you're going to have...
And there's a beautiful training center right across the road
from
the event
space.
Last
year, the Queen of England's granddaughter brought her horse and rode in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have a stout
there you
this
go.
Is over with.
And it's some of the greatest riders in the world came. It's a four-day event where the same horse and rider, they do three different disciplines. Dressage, cross-country jumping, which you're not going to believe when you see the fences they have to jump. And then they come back the last day for stadium jumping. And whoever gets the lowest score wins.
Well, I've lost my wife for my birthday weekend.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
And you'd love it, too. I mean, we'll get you a cake.
Great. We need to get Rodericks up there, too.
I like people.
Oh,
like
you should get, you should do that. And then,
you warm up for the Maryland Million the next weekend,
and then
which is horse racing.
Got Washington Horse Show
and
coming
then after that,
Prince
we have
George's.
The Washington Horse Show at... and that's televised all over the world. A big show, Jimmy. Man, Jessica Springsteen, we hope, will be there.
I knew it was going to come back to Springsteen.
There you go.
It's going to suck me in. Got a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. Welcome to Maryland Horse Country. Horses are our heritage. The Maryland Department of Agriculture. We got people involved in horse racing here. Cricket Goodall is our guest, as Ross Petticord. And I don't know why I've done 31 years of radio and haven't had you on more often.
I
stand fully embarrassed. And I apologize to
you. We'll get you out, and you and your wife out riding at full moon, and
there
we'll
go
up to Fair Hill to the five-star.
We'll make a rider out of you.
Go to Maryland Million and have a blast.
God, I hurt down here already just thinking about it.
Right.
Thank you for playing referee in this mess.
Yeah. I love to go
she
everywhere
with
Ross. She's
worried about her hair and the camera and the wind.
And I have no hair.
Marjorie's worried about the noise from the trucks going by. We're at full
moon.
It's
been great.
And I'm telling you what, we're going to have a crab cake before it's all over. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play out here today. Giving away some scratch-offs. Here's my scratch-off. The $10,000 show me. We have John Martin on, Doug Lloyd this week, talking about the big winner from Illinois in the Mega Millions.
Wow.
Goodwill is also with us. Our friends at Window Nation. I got the cap on. I'm going to be wearing this out to, let's see here, Cumberland, Oakland, Rocky Gap, Swallow Falls.
Going to wear it
Savage River. We're going to be doing it all. I'm going snakehead fishing later on in the month. But today was horse racing. Got more great guests from Reisterstown. We're in the Reisterstown area. Come on out here to Full Moon. Support local, the Barrett family. If you're familiar with Glendon Grill or Barrett's on the Pike. Same folks now owning the Full Moon Pub.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have John Litterman on a little later on. We're going to have a crab cake. I'm having a beer tonight. My brewery is the BC Brewery in Baltimore County. We call that brewery closest to home. So that's where I'm going to be, living in northern Baltimore County now. Thank you very much.
Great.
I love you, Ross Pettacore.
That's great. I love you,
it's
sir.
It's good to see you.
Thank you.
Cricket
Goodall
joining
us
here. Visit, tell everybody where you are in Reisterstown. Get everybody to your place.
I'm in historic Reisterstown, 321 Main Street. Come see the Maryland Horse Library and Education Center. We'll be open in mid-September. Want everyone to come visit. Thank you. Thanks
right.
for
tell,
having us.
Tell, go over to Harriman House. Tell John what we're
doing. Yeah, we're right
for.
Across from
tell
Harriman
him I need
House.
That burger over there. I'm throwing all these crab cakes. Ross, I love you, man.
Love you.
You're
going to
get me on a horse before it's all over.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to melt out here. It's 110.
No, it's nice.
John's put. We've got nice breeze blowing.
Perfect.
If I take my hair out, watch. My hair will blow around a little bit because it's. Because it's blowing in the wind. It's kind of like
you could lend Ross some hair.
It's kind of like Bob Dylan. The
yeah,
answer,
cut
my
that
friend.
Off and place it up here.
I'm getting my hair long for the Child's Play reunion in a couple weeks.
I tell you, it looks great.
It's coming
Nestor.
In, man.
It does. Yeah, nice.
Looks great.
It's Paul
Lamanti,
a gentleman's gentleman, Joppa Road. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop watching the truck go up and down 140 here. We're back for more from Full Moon. Stay with us. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour.